Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me along with my guests here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Today is Tuesday, and on Tuesdays, which many of you are aware, is when we do the segment From the Pulpit to the Couch. That's where you will receive biblical teachings from a pastor and others, as we will be providing information. Now, I want to thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning, for blessing me. And today's topic is something that kind of trickled over from yesterday as we were talking, and we were talking about get it right, which is one of the things that Tony had indicated when he was talking about the Bible. Now, it has been said that the Bible is one of the most read books. It is inspired, infallible word of God. It is an eyewitness account of history and is accurate in everything it says. Now, that becomes kind of questionable, especially by believers and some non-believers. Now, according to documentation, it is the authority for Christian life and practice and is a foundation on which believers must build their thinking, not only their thinking, also their attitude. And with that being said, why do we pick certain things that we want to believe? Many would say that the Bible is full of contradictions. And there are also several Bible scholars that have addressed that concern. The Bible is unique, and as a believer, many are still confused as to how to get it right or live a holy life. So I want to thank you for joining us today as Pastor Delano Blackwell and others as we will be discussing this topic. Because is it too late? Or can we still get it right? Now, I want to put a disclaimer out there. This show is not designed to shame, judge, or condemn individuals. It is to create a dialogue as we educate, encourage, and save souls, as one is given the opportunity to call in and ask questions or provide information. All we ask is that the callers be respectful. So, if you want to call in, give us a call, 516-387-1914. Let me log the person on. Good morning. This is Jeanette Abney. How are you doing?
I'm finding yourself, Jeanette. How are you?
You know what? I'm well. I mean, we talk about get it right. I know I'm working on getting it right, and I'm looking at the stuff that I just typed up, and it's crazy because as I typed it on the computer and it switches over to the board, it's some typos in here, and I made sure that I tried to get it right, but I'm looking at it, and I'm like, why? It's crazy how that happens, how words are just spelled wrong, and all it goes is from one thing to another. But we're going to leave that alone because I do know how to spell. People might challenge that because I used to get critiqued about that before. So, Pastor Blackwell, tell the listeners who you are as we engage in educate them as it relates to this topic.
My name is Pastor Delano Blackwell, formerly of the Mount Salem Bible Church of Oxnard, California. I have over 15 years in pastoral ministry and 30 years in ministry. This particular topic came about in our conversation. And my question to you may be, I'm speaking to someone who is in the church but yet out of the church, or maybe someone who's out of the church and needs to get back in the church. You know, I'm speaking today about this topic about a person who's playing the hokey pokey. You know, the one who has one foot in but got the other foot out. And then when they get hot over there, they take their other foot out and put the other foot in. I'm talking to that believer who shouts on Sunday, and inside of their heart, they know they're not living at the best level that they can live. But yet still, they still yield to the things of Satan. I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm here to make sure everyone goes to heaven. The conversation here, get it right, means I'm speaking to those who know about Christ And then I'm speaking to some who don't know about Christ, because you can only get it right when you know you're doing wrong. There are some people who are sinners who don't know. But there's a group of Christians who know and who has been living on the cusp of sin for so long to where they don't know if they're right or wrong. And then some of them just sing that song, "If Loving You Was Right."
Loving You Wrong, I don't want to be right.
And if Loving You Was Wrong, that is, I don't want to do right.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have that concept. And I've heard that so many times about living. And then one of the things I've heard is, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it together. Give me a chance. Give me time." And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because a pastor friend of mine only lived to be 52 years old the other day. And I know he got it. I know he got it right. But I got some friends out there I know that didn't get a chance to live long enough to get it right. And my friend's time is winding up. You can go to sleep today on this side, but you can wake up tomorrow on the other side. If you are a part-time Christian, please stop playing and become a full-time Christian. Get it right. Don't try to shuck and jive. Get it right. I'm not telling you that I got my hand out saying, "Look at you. Listen to me." The Bible says, Jesus said he came that you might have life, and through him you might have it abundantly. I'm not talking about your proclivities, the ones that you do that you cannot seemingly know how to let, that you seemingly don't know how to let go at all. All of us fall and come short of the glory of God, but there are some proclivities in life we got to let go. If we're going to get it right with God. If we're going to get it right with God. I'm trying to hold my tongue and not say half of the things I want to say, because some people are going to say you're judging. But I need to tell you something. There are some things in that book that will judge you way farther than what I will say. And then some of you are going to say, "Well, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, so why should I get it right?" Then some of you are going to say, "Well, I believe from the birth. I've been saved. I was saved before anything, so I ain't worried about that. I can live. I'm saved." You saved, but you're not saved from sin. So I am concerned, and I like to see every one of us go to heaven. The Bible says Jesus came that no man should perish. That means no man should die and go to hell. Hell was not meant for man. I need to say that clearly, Jeanette.
Wow,
I need to get
deep.
That out there.
That is real deep.
I need to get that out there. Hell was not meant for man. Hell was meant for Satan and his imps. A lot of people want to talk about, "Well, ain't no big thing, every party in hell." There's no party in hell. I've been reading this Bible a long time, and they ain't said nothing about parties. Matter of fact, let me even just go a step farther. The Bible says those who will go to hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. Now watch this. You ain't just going to hell, because it says later on when the Lord comes back, he's going to throw hell into the lake of fire. So I'm concerned. Yes, get it right. Get it right. Don't fool around and lose your footing. Because guess what? And I'll get into one thing I do want to get into, Jeanette. I do want to get into guilt later when we start talking, because guilt holds us from doing a whole bunch of things. And I am really concerned about guilt. Matter of fact, I'm going to get into a preaching series real soon on guilt, some stuff I wrote, what guilt will make you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared to tell people about guilt is one of the number one things that causes us to make some mental and physical errors because of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned about that.
And you know, Pastor Blackwell, and part of doing this show is to address some of the concerns that, you know, we see on a day-to-day basis, especially with people that we grew up with, people in our family. You know, I recall parents telling their kids, you know what, you better get it right. Or mothers or wives telling their husbands to get it right, and they, you know, thinking that I'm going to live forever. And tomorrow is not promised to nobody. And you talk about guilt. And not only guilt, we got fear out there. We got shame out there. And some individuals feel, and I wrote it down when they said, is it too late? Because some individuals feel that they've done so much damage. They've hurt so many people. And, you know, and that's why when we talk about deliverance, forgiveness, repentance, that's what all that is about. And a lot of times individuals just don't believe. And they just, I don't know if they don't believe, if they're scared to believe, or if they're disappointed. Pastor, what do you think some of these things are areas where individuals, they're struggling?
One of the things they're struggling with is I don't think fully they understand the power of God
mm-hmm.
through the salvation of Jesus. I don't think a lot of people understand what Jesus did for us by dying on the cross. They don't understand the power that he did, that he gave unto us. They don't understand that everything he did was to set us free out of the captor's hand, was to establish us a new life and a new spirit. Once that his blood was shed for us, that we were bought and redeemed by his precious, blood. But the problem is we are so sad and disheartened because we did it. We know we did it. We're ashamed of it. And we're ashamed of it because it followed us around. For 20 and 30 and 40 years, sometimes it follows us around up until we get to be 18, and we're still ashamed. And I've learned that. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, as you're speaking, I'm thinking of those individuals that have committed crimes, those individuals that have been in jail, in a prison. And I recall when I was doing my internship at Juvenile Hall, or when I've worked and had to do work in the jails, that a lot of times those are individuals that people would want to feel guilty, and a lot of them are not carrying that guilt, shame, and blame that most people want them to have. Some of them have really learned how to forgive themselves and turn their life over because some individuals found Christ in those dark, deep places. So if they know what they've done and they've decided to turn their life around and get it right, why can't we, meaning those that have not committed some of those hideous crimes, believe enough in the power of God to just say, you know what, Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to do right. And you know, with that challenge, I've heard it say, I remember my father, and you know, I mean, you may not remember him, like, you know, being around that much, but I remember he told me one time, I don't want to go to heaven. I'm not going to nobody there. All my friends in hell. And I was like, wow. And even before he was murdered, we had a conversation, and he told me that I had him sing a song about me not wanting to go to heaven. I'm thinking to myself, I ain't never told him that. But I don't know if he was struggling and knowing that, you know, he was trying to get some things right or what he was doing. But I clearly remember him telling me that. He did not want to go to heaven because he wasn't going to know nobody.
You know, It's amazing. We play with heaven and hell like they're a joke. And I need to say this. We play with it like it's a joke. And I do want to get this out of the way. We don't only play with heaven and hell like it's a joke. We play with Satan like he really do got a long tail. He really walks around with a red tail, with horns and a red body. We really think that's him. But maybe Satan don't look like that. He can take on the form of a man or a woman or anything he likes. The Bible says he is an angel of light. He can do what he wants to do. Let me get it out. In this life, we have to learn how to forgive ourselves first. But here's the problem with forgiving ourselves, Jeanette. And you hit the nail on the head. Here's the problem with forgiving ourselves. You've got to be able to understand that you can't forgive you. You got to let a higher power forgive you. You got to reach out to that higher power. Because most people say, man, my mom and daddy said I wasn't no good, so what am I forgiving myself for? I ain't no good. Nobody else said any good in me. What is it Jesus going to see any good in me for? He dead anyway, you know. You know, that nigga dead anyway, so he don't see nothing in me. And he don't know that yet, and they really don't understand. That's the reason what he did for you. You'll see. And I'm concerned because you're right. The people in the jail do get it quicker because they understand something. I'm going to be here a while, and the first person I got to learn how to deal with is me. Because I'm going to be with me a long time. But watch this statement, Jeanette. I'm going to be with me a long time. So the person I got to deal with first is me. And I say that all the time. When it comes down to Christians, the Bible tells us clearly you got to learn how to deny yourself. Then take up your cross and follow me. You got to learn how to let the old man in you die so the new man can live and then you can move on. But guess what? Some of us dragging bodies around and don't even know it.
Ooh, dragging bodies, spirits, bones, everything, just dragging it. Just, we call it dead weight.
You're dragging a dead body around because you won't let it go and you won't get it right. So you drag this dead corpus around. That or you do that thing that what is that movie, Jeanette, what is our boy's name? Eddie Murphy. When he's the doctor, when he's a fat doctor, chemist. And he's having a problem being
Nutty Professor.
In the Nutty Professor, you got two people. He's living with two people. And that's how we live. But instead of us one fighting and he jumping up, we dragging one around. Okay, it's your turn. You know, we out of church now. It's your turn. It's your turn. We got our bodies trained to come out. Okay, look, I'm going to let you have Wednesday night and Thursday night. Wednesday night we go to Bible study. Wednesday night we go to Bible study. Thursday night you go to choir rehearsal. And Sunday you go to church. So I'm going to let you, the good Christian, have those days. Friday night, look, watch this. Friday night we're going to the casino. Saturday night, we're going down to the club to have some drinks and some smoke. We'll do our thing, but Sunday morning, we'll get up and go to church. Now, watch me. I ain't said nothing. Nothing in there is a sin. Come on, let me say that to you.
Correct.
I ain't said you did nothing. I said you went. A lot of people say, how you going to say it? I had to go anyway. I don't have to say it, and you're right. You don't. I didn't say you said it, but watch this. If the wrong person see you at the casino, the first word out of my mouth, they go, boy, I thought they were a better Christian than that. Girl, I seen them down at the casino. Well, I'm going to say what I want to say. What the heck? You were there. I thought you were a better Christian. See, that's when you start judging and things. And I told people all the time, wait a minute. We all can go for entertainment.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is, make sure we put the Savior first. All of us can go for a little entertainment. Watch this. Where in the Bible does it say, don't drink?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Say don't be a drunk.
It just says don't be drunk.
Uh-huh.
See? A lot of people don't understand. You can get it right. We just do things in excess.
Mm-hmm.
We're excessively greedy. You know, Jeanette. You know greedy. You
Correct.
Know greedy, don't you, Jeanette?
I'm working on getting it right with that. I did know greedy, but me and greedy are not friends right about now, because all I had was my oatmeal for breakfast this morning. I got my bag of fruit, my salad, my baked chicken for lunch. So after I started seeing my face on YouTube, and I was looking like, did you watch the Nutty Professor? And I was looking like Ralph Buescher, I said, heck to the no. I'm not going out like this. So Jeanette got her shoes in the car. So when my break comes, Jeanette about to walk around and go run some errands. I'm going to walk to the bank. Jeanette going to do it that way because I'm not doing that. I can't. You know what? And sometimes you have to see it. That ain't funny because you tried to tell me that years ago, and I ain't going to say I got mad at you. I was just like, how you going to sit up here? Your butt can't even see. How you going to tell me? And, you know, you told me, Zay told me. Everybody's like, Jeanette, what you doing? Jeanette, what you doing? And it was crazy because even when I was talking to Tony, and I told him how I use food as a way to get people not to look at me, and now I'm looking at me like, what the heck have I done? And you took it there when you were talking about the Nutty Professor.
Yes.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not too late. I'm going to get it right. So I'm not going to be going out here where people got to carry my casket and it take about, instead of having freaking six people, let's go take 12. No, thank you. I'm good. I'm cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool on that one. Now, when we talk about these things and talking about part of it is pleasing, sometimes we get confused and you talked about judging. Are we trying to please God? Are we trying to please man? Are we trying to make sure we get into heaven? So it's your own personal relationship with God. Now, I have some information, Pastor Blackwell, and I'm going to run it by you. And it's coming from crosswalks.com. And it indicates 10 ways to know you're getting it right. And it goes into details. And one of the things when we're talking about our Christian walk, the knowledge, and they indicate that here's a list of 10 signs or indicators that we're growing in Christ, because a lot of it is about growing and that we are getting it right. One of the things it says, a changing appetite. It indicates my taste for spiritual things is changing. I find myself loving to study the word and the Lord and looking forward to it. Far from it being a chore, it's literally fun. Now, you know, I remember we were talking earlier today about Anthony, and, we are at his anniversary of his passing. And I remember when I would go over to his house, he would make me read the Bible, he would make me watch Christian channels, and he would make me go to church. And it went from being like I was forced to then start doing it on my own. So you start noticing that change of appetite. So you start doing it even when nobody else is looking, because it becomes natural. It becomes fun. It kind of goes into what you were saying as far as individuals doing, different things. And, going to school, growing up, we used to say we was drugged to church. And I remember Steve Harvey telling a joke, talking about, Mama, I don't want to go to heaven. you know, because people were getting tired of that. But it says, Job said, I have esteemed the world of thy mouth more than my necessary food. And that's also with Job 23:12. Delina, what do you have to say in regards to that, in regards to a changing appetite?
You know, I watched that happen in so many lives and in my life too. Because the closer I get, and I'm being very honest, the closer you get to God, the more your appetite changes for God.
Mm-hmm.
Your prayer life changes. Your walk, your talk changes. Your desire changes. Your will changes. The people around you gonna change. You ain't gonna put up with what
mm-hmm.
you used to put up with.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're closer, and when you start getting a closer walk, you're not gonna desire milk. You're gonna desire
mm-hmm.
meat.
Correct.
So that means you may find out what you're getting fed is milk, and you might even leave
mm-hmm.
the location of the church you're in to go somewhere else to get
correct.
Some meat. Because all of us understand that when your desires change, you change. I tell everybody, I don't want to keep eating oatmeal every day. I like grits. You know, give me something
mm-hmm.
that's going to help me because my desire changes.
Mm-hmm.
His word, I mean, when I have a 360-day devotional. I've done it for years. In that devotional, I got it from Dr. Frank Ray. There's so many things in there that I just go back and read. And the sad part about it, I got this devotional 2 years, no, maybe 5 years ago, and I'm still using it for the simple reason the word gets stronger every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same word. It's something I like, and it helps me dig into it. Just, you know,
mm-hmm.
put it in memorization. And that's the problem. We don't memorize nothing either.
When was the last time we used our what?
Memory.
I didn't hear what you said. You know what? We don't. We use our iPhone. You know, and the next one I want to go to, it talks about a disgust for the shameful. The more we become like Christ, and that is God's plan for every believer, the more we find ourselves turning away in disgust at activities that used to fascinate us. And it indicates that Paul spoke of certain activities as shameful even to speak of, and that's in Ephesians 5:12. That's when we start doing things differently. We start seeing things differently. And it reminds me, as I'm looking at this information, how you would talk about in the beginning years ago about reality shows. And I used to say that I was going to get me a reality show, and how some individuals find that just very distasteful, how people was putting their lives and their business out there on the street. And then reality shows started changing to where more individuals were doing it. And some people think it's not real, but even as we do this show on Blog Talk Radio, it's not script, it's not rehearsed, it's real. So when we start talking about that disgust for the shameful, sometimes we'd be like, ooh, I don't wanna entertain that. Can you speak on that a little bit when we're talking about getting it right with Ephesians 5:12?
When he talks about that shamefulness, that shameful is when you start discovering you're in a group that you don't even want to be with.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, when I was in junior high school with you, that was a group of girls.
You know what?
Who, in my opinion, was a group of the shameful.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did some stuff that was very shameful. And I don't know if you were part of the group, Jeanette, but they were called the Pinky. I mean, Pink, what are they?
Pooh.
The pool girl.
They were pool girls.
Well, I think you were
but
part
you,
of it.
Delano, but you know what, Delano?
But
this is the thing. But the thing is, when you talk about the pool girls, I don't know what your perception, or maybe I missed something with the pool girls, because we wasn't doing anything. I wasn't. At least I wasn't. I don't know about everybody else. But Jeanette was.
Now, hold on now. Let me say what I'm trying to say now. But they were so shameful. You didn't want your daughter to be a part of them. See, I'm trying to give you a better illustration, because you were part. You didn't want your daughter to be a part of the pool girl. Because when you heard about the pool girls, you heard about Pinky. And her leader of that group was just outlandish. Come on, talk to me if you can. So if you thought about the pool girls and you thought about Pinky, you said, oh, my God, I want my daughter in this group. Come on, talk to me.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this. I don't know if Pinky listened to the show, but you got to remember, Delano, I've known Pinky ever since we was in elementary school. I got a cut on my finger.
I know I told
you. On my index finger from the fifth grade, but we had a fight over a knife to cut my birthday cake.
All right, see,
so
I'm going to say it again. You didn't want your daughter like that, and I know she's changed since then.
Yeah, she has.
But
you know what, though?
That was the world.
I'm going to say this from a therapeutic perspective, because even back then, sometimes what we saw wasn't, or what we thought may not have always been accurate. Because you got to remember, too, growing up, people thought I was fast. I remember.
You were?
No, I was not. I wasn't fast because I had a lot of male friends. And the thing is, I remember hearing about people's parents talking about, I don't want you hanging out at Jeanette's house because all them boys down there. Or Jeanette got all them boys hanging
that.
Out her at her house. But just because, and you was one, and I mean, you didn't hang out with a lot of the other ones was always down there. But you know I wasn't promiscuous and messing around with all them boys. And I learned that a lot of females met their men in husbands. I said, you know, I wasn't one of the ones that was down there, you know, being promiscuous with all them boys. I wasn't that. But
say
I remember my mother told me, you know, Jeanette, most of these girls are trying to be your friend only because these boys be hanging around here. I was looking at you guys as my brothers.
Well,
you know,
we
even to
this
day when I still talk to, you know, Ronald Coffey and, you know, Melvin and all you guys. But I have heard stories about people's parents thinking one way about me. So I got to defend Pinky in that area because I
well,
knew
you
know
the thing. I know the truth. I know the truth about you and us.
Well,
nah.
I guess.
I know you.
So
I know
believe
you
in the
line. All right, hold on. Let's get it together. Let's get it right. I know you wasn't no prayer book. Well, you wasn't no prayer book walking around. We none of us were. And I know some people who came to your house was defenseless, but they didn't leave defenseless when they left. They had to fight.
You know what?
I ain't started. We can do this on the radio. I love you.
Okay. The next one, a love.
Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. See, what I like about this, and I got to interrupt this. What I love about this today, God will let you laugh about your past. And I'm trying to get this out, because when you get it right with God, you can look back at your past and laugh about it. You won't cry.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be upset. You won't be mad. You can laugh about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happens when God saves us. He also puts laughter in.
Correct. That is so true. And the next one I want to talk about is a love for believers. There is something almost uncanny about this. And the closer we are to Christ, the more we will love his people likewise. The further we stray away from him, the less we will have for them and the more critical we can become of them. Now, remember, and it talks about the next time that you hear someone backslide in church, and individuals, you know, will always kind of say something or condemn them. But you got to remember, when you are a love, or you have a love for believers, that's when you know you can get it right, because you're not trying to pass judgment. You're not trying to condemn them. You're not trying to shame them. You're trying to help them, you know. And there's also, when you're getting it right, an unusual peace and quietness. And that's something else. I'm going through this really fast. You have a strange patience for individuals when you're getting it right, and your joy and your laughter, which is what you're talking about, also change. And you have what's called a new generosity and a joy in anonymous acts, because you feel good about when you can help other people help themselves, and more silence in your prayer time. Now, I want to go into something, because I want to talk about the unceasing prayer, but I know I was waiting to see if Tony was going to call in, and I know he said he had something to do, and I appreciate him when he do join us in on the show. But he was talking about some of the things in 1 Corinthians. And when we talk about getting it right, we also have to know what's wrong. And, you know, Blackwell, we always talk about sin, but some individuals really do not have a clear understanding of what that means when we talk about that. And even though it says that the wages of sin is death, and, you know, like everybody else, we think, well, it ain't going to kill us, or I'm going to die. But by that same token, how can we clarify that so that the listeners can gain a better understanding of that?
Okay, you would do this. You would do this. So I guess I need to explain it. The definition of sin is really not to aim at the target. It's like a man or archer with a bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
The object of it is to hit the bullseye. But he ain't even close to hitting the bullseye. He hitting the wall, the back of the tree. Our aim is to hit the bullseye, to do God's will and bidding. But sin makes our aim off target. And what happened is people say, like they've been saying from the first day, like Eve said, it won't kill you. Now let's get that right. Sin won't kill you. Jesus has already paid for that, and death has already come up on the world. Men will die because of sin. So we already got that. You ain't got to worry about that. But the sin, the death that we talk about, that is the penalty of sin, is the second death. That means when we die the first time, the Bible says we die and go unto heaven. But the sinner goes to hell and then will wind up being cast into the lake of fire. So it talks about the second death. Christians will not suffer after the second death. We don't know nothing about that. But sinners will. So the problem that we always discuss and that people don't know, that there is a second death. And the second death is the separation from sinner and saint. That's the one that keeps husband from wife, wife from children, children from grandchildren, because of the second death. Well, they chose not to accept the will of God in their life. So the Bible casts them into a second death. And most people don't believe they're going to die again. If you talk to the average person, the average person who sins don't believe they're going to die at all physically. So that second death don't mean nothing, because they don't even believe they're going to perform the first one. I've had people say, man, I ain't worried about death. When death come, I ain't worried. I get that phone call, can you go to the hospital? Such and such in the hospital, get to the hospital. Man, I need you to pray for me. I said, what am I praying for? I need you to say, what's wrong, man? I'm about to die. and I don't want to go to hell, man. I'm scared. I don't want to go there. Well, let's pray. And we pray the salvation, prayer of salvation, and it going in right. And then you got something, man, I don't care, boy, I'm going to hell with gasoline draws doing 1,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
We're gone. But I ain't looking for a decision. So I understand, Jeanette, to 100 degree what these cats are trying to do and what they're doing to themselves. But the bottom line mm-hmm. is you got to understand there's a second death. So we're trying to warn people. You don't want to die and go to hell. You don't want to miss having mm-hmm. to go to hell. So what you need to do is take on the whole arm of God. The Bible tells us you can be saved. Why? How can you be saved? The Bible tells us, go to 1 John 1:9. It says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse you and hear you from all of your unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You can get saved and you can get washed up, and then after you get washed up, you can confess him as Lord and Savior of your life. You can tell him you sin. You can tell him you love his Father and you want to accept his perfect will in your life and move on in life.
Mm-hmm.
But when you sin, you stay outside of the will of God.
Mm-hmm. And that is the issue, being outside of the will. Now, Pastor Blackwell, I have a question, and I'm looking at some information, and it talks about the John 15 model, the 4 keys to a fruitful life. Now, when we start talking about that, and it indicates that Jesus gave us a game plan in his upper room discourse where he teaches his disciples the fundamental spiritual themes that they are or they will need later when he is departed from them. In the well-known I Am the Vine passage, which is in John 15, 1 through 15, Jesus claims to be the vine, and we believing Christians are the branches. The goal and mission of our life is simple, bear much fruit. In that, we bring glory to God and prove to be his disciples. And these are what they indicate, the 4 keys to achieve that outcome and have a successful life by like trying to get it right no matter what. Abide in Jesus. Obey Jesus, love Jesus, and know Jesus. Pastor, can you speak on that a little bit? Because we talk about abiding in Jesus, knowing that Jesus is the absolute lifeline. And when we talk about that, what do they mean by that, to abide in Jesus?
Well, let's look at the tree. If he is the vine, and we are the branches, and when you talk about, he's talking about a grape tree, a grapevine. The grapevine only can exist as long as they are connected. He has to be connected to the vine if that branch is
mm-hmm.
on it. It won't get no water source. It won't get all the nutrients it needs. It can't exist of its own. So when you hear that abiding, its existence has to be in the branch, the vine. It has to exist its attachment to the vine. Now watch this.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be the same way with me and you. We have to abide in him. He has all of our strength, all of our nutrients, all of our power if we're going to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
You have to abide in him, and then once you start abiding in him, you'll learn how to rest. That's what I want to get to, in him. Because abide only means to rest in him.
Mm-hmm.
When you abide and rest in him, Jeanette, I promise you, your life will never be the same. Never be the same. Mm-hmm. You won't be powerless. You won't be prayerless. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Now let's go on to the next one. Obey. How can the listeners get it right by obeying Jesus? Because we know basically involves obedience, but are we in compliance? Are we doing things that are out of sync with God's ways? It kind of goes into the Ten Commandments First Corinthians, which is what Tony was talking about or speaking of perhaps last week.
Well, let's deal with something first. You ain't through with abiding yet, because guess what? When you start saying that, you automatically hit the note that any type of disobedient act causes a break in the branch. Oh, Lord have mercy. Causes a break in the branch. And when there's a break between the vine and the branch, you lose some of your nourishment. You don't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear me. When you start mm-hmm. losing some of your nourishment, then you become weak. Not as a man, not as a woman, but as a Christian. So guess what? You need to hurry up and reconnect. But guess what? You can't reconnect once you disconnect, because once that vine breaks, he talks about something totally different. But guess what? You got to be willing to abide. You got to abide in him so you don't get so nothing breaks, because once you step out, you start breaking the relationship, because he's not going to keep you when you don't want to be kept. Oh, bless
wow. His name. That's deep. That's deep. And then, because we're running out of time, and I know we haven't received any callers, and I've been still looking at this phone thing, so I haven't even checked my Facebook to see if there's been any questions. I'll do that in a minute. But the next one is love Jesus. And while his love springs from obedience, we remain in his love through our love and obedience. And could you say that you really loved, or how could you say you really love Jesus? And you also got to know him. But that love. See, sometimes we talk about we go get it right, but we'll say we love Jesus, we love God, but we hate our sisters, our brothers. Pastor, can you tell us what that and clarify that in regards for the love, to love Jesus? To get it right.
You know, people are going to say and do all manners of things, but you got to stay focused and centered and abiding. People are going to try your nerve. People mm-hmm. walk up on you and slap you, but you still got to be able to abide. You ain't got to just look back and shake your head. You got to be willing to still maintain the Christian contact, because there are times in your life things are going to happen, but you still got to remain the same
in Christ.
People will say anything to get you out of who you are, to break your relationship, because if you have one and they don't have one, they're going to try to interrupt that.
Oh, yes, they will.
Now,
yes,
far as the, Tony was talking about folks knowing the law, you can't abide in nothing if you don't know the rules of abiding.
Mm-hmm.
We already know the rules. Jesus said it's already been set. Now here's what you need to do in the branch. Remember, everybody
mm-hmm.
knows, look, if you're going to be a Christian, you already know the rules. Okay, these are the things you cannot do. These are the things you can do. Now go live.
Mm-hmm.
And live prosperously. Watch this, and live prosperously. Now watch this. The problem is we can't live prosperously because we can't abide. some of us think we living good. We living good, and gonna find out the person who we living good for is Satan. The Lord has
mm-hmm.
nothing to do with it. So
mm-hmm.
I understand where you're going. Anything else?
And you know, and it's interesting, Blackwood, that you said that, because it goes into that again. Know Jesus. A lot of us do not know Jesus. Go to church every Sunday, sing in the choir, you know, we'll get up there and testify, fall out, and everything else. But do they really know Jesus? And that's something else that we have to emphasize in regards to getting it right. Because like you said, some people play church, and the one thing you don't want to do is play in that pulpit. you don't want to play with God, because God is nothing to be played with.
Here's a great example. You won't find out if they know Jesus. You won't find out if your neighbor knows Jesus. If you won't find out if your friend knows Jesus. Sit back and wait and see how they handle trouble.
How they handle what? Trouble?
Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the great equalizer. If they handle trouble well, then you know they got a relationship. But if they don't handle trouble well, it don't make a difference what they do. I know I told my friend, baby, it's going to be all right. The Lord has already showed it to me. It's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
But you just got to get back to him. You just got to get back to him. You need to get back to him. You ain't had a bad day since.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say amen. Don't say amen. You ain't had a bad day since.
Mm-hmm.
You might have had some challenges, but you ain't had a bad day since.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Pastor Blackwell, with all that we're seeing in our communities, all that we're seeing in the world, and you would wonder why people are not running to try to get it right, you know, because parents have told their children and instilled in them and tried to discipline them, and the same thing that God has, you know, like you said, died on the cross for us and all of that. So it gets to the point to where I always say, when you know better, you do better. But by that same token, we really need to try to focus on getting it right. And because being wrong and doing it the wrong way, if that's not working, like they said, what is the definition of insanity, which is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, we really have to do better. We really do. So I know we got like 8 minutes left on the show. I've been trying to check my social media pages, even though I put this information out late, and I know that quite a few individuals listen to the show on SoundCloud, or they can click on Twitter, and they can also click on their Facebook link to listen to the show. But I just want to know, and I would like for you to share with the listeners, what are some of the things, and just to reemphasize, some of the things they can do to realize it's not too late to get it right. But what are some of the directions that you would like to have individuals that are believers, and then let's say the non-believers?
You know, it would be nice to stop juggling. I was a mortician for 32 years. And one of the things that I hated to see was the death of a young black man.
Mm-hmm.
I hated to see it, but I made good money off of it. See? I hated it. Made good money off of it. Police didn't kill them. They were killing each other. I want to get that out. And what I would love to see is us stop juggling time like we are some court jester. Playing with time like we own time. Time is borrowed, and it will be given back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared to say that we don't understand, and we're running out of time. A friend of mine made it known to me. He said, do you understand when we started, when we were born, the clock was started.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when the clock going to end, but we know it's going to end. Now, the question to it is, do you know where you're going, what it is? Maybe you don't know where you're going. Maybe you're trying to know. But the bottom line is you need to know where you're going. God is coming back. And you got to be willing to give God a try. Got to be willing. Got to be willing. Got to be willing. So some of the things you can do is pray, go into service, go to church, speak with your friends, give God more of your time, your talent, and your treasure. But if you're going to get it right, and you really need to run over and let God save you. And when he saves you, I promise you, everything will be all right. And all it is a little prayer. Father, I confess my sin. I take you as Lord. I know I haven't been living the way you want me to. I want to live the way you want me to from this point on. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus,
wow,
for today for this vote.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Blackwell, and that's very powerful because, like we talked about before in some previous shows, the power of prayer and how when we're trying to get it right and just making sure that we, you know, distractions are going to be out there, people will be out there to deceive us, and we just got to stay focused. Stay focused, stay on track. And, you know, we always talk about the promises of God, and if you stand on that word and you believe in that word and the Bible, we talk about even though it being a fallible word of God. And sometimes, like I said, we try to challenge these things, but it's what you know, and if you know you're doing it and it's not working for you, like you said, you got to try something else. And now even being a pastor, Pastor Blackwell, do you see that now, do you think that more people are now trying to turn their lives over to God, or do you still people still living in a mess?
Well,
what
is this millennium group is a tough group, let me tell you. It's a tough group because truly some of them come to church, they get the church on, and they go out and they do their thing, and they're trying to come to the Lord, and we're doing the best I can to facilitate them. But the problem that we're discussing is their lifestyle of habits have to be broken. And you can't break a habit. You can't break nobody's habit unless they want the habit to be broken. So
wow.
We have to learn how to live differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting you said that about habits. Yesterday show on Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, we talked about breaking bad habits. So that was the topic for yesterday.
Well, good. That's good.
Just brought that up.
Good. That was a setup for the day. Because
yes,
you can't get it right unless you work from the habits.
Correct. And, you know, and now when we start talking about these things, and you know, you and I had a conversation in regards to what is the message that we're trying to get individuals to gather from this information by getting it right, and you shared some of the in-depth details in regards to that because, you know, we're concerned about people's soul. We don't want to see individuals that we love, that we grew up with, that we care for, and watch them live in all of this pain like they're living in hell. And sometimes we create our circumstances and then we want to blame it on God and everybody else. But we do have to make that decision to say, you know what, I'm going to turn my life over to God. I can't live like this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to do better. And the prayer that you gave them to emphasize and say is a powerful, awesome prayer. And it's like get back into your book, read the Bible. So, Pastor, we got about 60 more seconds left on the show. So what do you want to leave the listeners with today?
Come on back. Come on back. I know you remember the time as a little boy, little girl, grandma taking you to church. Come on back. It ain't changed. Come on back to the church. You heard the choir singing, the deacons praying. Preaching, come on back to church. You ain't missing nothing. Come on back. You can't do church at home. You got to be in the crowd. I want to extend a heartfelt welcome to you to come to church. Pick up your Bible, dust it off, read it. But go to church Sunday. It ain't going to hurt you. Get it back. Go back. God has a blessing for you, and it doesn't cost you anything. Go get your blessing.
Well,
thank you.
You know, Pastor Blackwell, you gave me two topics. One, you indicated the power of God, and then I like the one God got a blessing for you. So which one you want to talk about next week?
None of them.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to give you time to let the Lord speak to you so you can tell me what it is you want to talk about. Because these things, when I hear them, and I'm like, okay, we need to clarify that. We need to let people know what that means. We need to, you know, because I'm looking at it from a whole different perspective. So I will give you time for you to tell me what you want to talk about, okay?
Welcome. I'm going to let you
know. Until we'll talk about the power of God, because people need to understand his power. And I'm thinking the power, the beauty, the all that, and a bag of chips. So until next week, remember, you got this. So next week we will talk about the power of God. And I want to thank you for listening to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio with Jeanette Abney and Pastor Delano Blackwell. Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless.